put on the recording so that poor Matthew won't have any tinnitus. Okay, we're holding over here in the middle of the piece on Perek HaCholel, I think.
Yeah, I think okay. That.
Just 1 minute. There's somebody, I need to take a call. Sorry, 1 second. Hello? Somebody. Okay, good. So we're holding in the middle of Perek HaCholel. Rabbi Avira said that the Yetzer has 7 names. And
we finished the name Lofia Karo Oral.
Right. Yes. We got to Oral. And we said each name has a different aspect and so on. Of what is Ra and how Ra is perceived. And it has depending on who you are, that's what your perception of Ra will be. So Moshe Rabbeinu called him Oral. And he says, and he explained the difference, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can label it as being absolute Ra, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu can only call it an Oral, and so on. But I guess, just a sort of parenthetical remark. We said HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls it Ra in absolute way. We spoke about the concept that Ra really has no meaning that translates into our sense of things. It simply is, it's defined as that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has declared as Ra. We can find something disgusting, we can find something counterproductive, we can have different ways of describing these things, but at the end of the day they're all with our input. Now, I want to refer to Amaral in Pirkei Avos. He speaks about a Talmud Chacham and a rabbi that he speaks about Yimeirach Rabach Kimeirach Shemayim, and the Maral says over there that it's only talking about the type of Rebbe who teaches you Chachma as opposed to the Rebbe that teaches you Mishnah and Torah. And even the Maral learns that that's even pshat by Hashavas Aveda, that Aviv is koidim l'rabbi. If he taught him only Mishneh Gemara, the Rash, Mishneh and Tanakh, Rashi argues, but he certainly feels that the Moir Rabbi Kumar Shemayim only refers to a Rav who taught you Talmud or Chachma, as he refers it. So I want to.
What does Chacham mean? Gemara.
See, Gemara in the Gemara's lashon wasn't the fix for us today. Even later, Sfarim might have a din of Mishnah. Mishnah means Torah Shabbal Peh. That's sort of finite. This is what Beis Shammai said. This is what Beis Hillel said. The reasoning, the logic, the arguments back and forth, the possible ramifications, all of that is called Talmud. And for the people in those days, the Amoraim, this was the sort of the shiurim they heard, and this was the discussion they had in Beis Medrash. For us today, that the Gemara is kind of frozen, and if we quote a Gemara, that's it. That also might be sort of Mishnah. So the Chachma he refers to is the process of understanding and making use of the different Mishnas, as opposed to simply the information. That's what.
Would that be a mahalach in learning, or like that today?
Correct. What we would call today mahalach learning. So I wanted to explain pshat. Why is it that you have the Himor Rabach Kemar Shemayim only that? And then it would help us understand the point regarding this thing about Ra and Tov we're talking about. For instance, let's say I have a loaf of bread, and I give you the loaf of bread, or I give you a half a loaf of bread, that breeds a certain element of ava, of kesher, of chaveros. You know, any type of giving to the other person doesn't lend yira, doesn't really create, no reason to create yira. It creates ava of some sort. So there are in the world of finite things, So if I gave somebody a loaf of bread, the loaf of bread is now his loaf. It may have come from me, but it's now his. If I teach somebody Tanakh, so the Tanakh that he's learned now, he can put a little footnote that I know Tanakh so nicely because my Rebbe taught it to me, but the Tanakh is valid because he knows it now, and that's fine. There's no, there is nothing in that relationship other than Hakaras HaTov and possibly an Ava for having shared it with me, and that's it. Why would there at all be an element of Yira in relationship to a Rav? We can understand maybe Yira in relationship to a Talmud Chacham who's bigger than me, greater than me, and so on. But so I'm in awe of a person who's big and chashev. But why am I in awe of the person who taught me? So the answer is, there are things that when I give you something finite, it's now yours. So the loaf of bread I gave you is now your loaf of bread, and it's yours because it's yours, and that's it. The history is relevant only for Hakaras HaTov. Same thing is true with any type of learning, which no longer needs to be attributed to me. When it comes to understanding things, for instance, someone told me, Rav Fal Shmulevitz in the Mini Yeshiva, Rav Chaim's son, should be well, told me, we once schmoozing, he said something very, very insightful. He said, just the Chazanish's comments had just come out of Rav Chaim Sefer. So he'd looked through some of them, and he said, they are not kashas on Rav Chaim Sefer. It's an either-or situation. If you buy into Rav Chaim, then the Chazanish's points are meaningless. If you buy into the Chazanish's points, Rav Chaim Sefer is meaningless. It boils down to differences in postulates and axioms about what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. And it's not as if, for instance, a kasha like a Kivegas kasha or Marsha's kasha, whatever system, however you're learning the Gemara, it's a simple, he's calling it the question, you know, two and two has to equal four, whether you're talking about two rocks and two rocks, or two glasses and two glasses, it makes no difference. Rabbi Kavika's question is a problematic, what derech you learn it. Rabbi Chaim is asking a thoughtful question, which either goes to the core of it by one reckoning, or is totally off mark by another reckoning, and there's no real way to reconcile it, because they're really built on two very different ground rules. So when a person has learned Chachma from his Rebbe, then every time he uses it, it's valid because he got it from his Rebbe. This is not Pshat Nigmar. Why not? It works. Well, the way I was trained, this is absolutely absurd. So there's always an understanding that I'm applying axioms that I got from somebody above me, higher, an authority of some sort. The same thing is true about Yiras Shemayim. Yiras Shemayim relates to, I am keeping the mitzvahs, I am bound to Tov, because there is something above me is mandating it. And it has to start with the sense of the above. And that's what's called Yiras Shemayim. The validity of the Tov and the Ra in its broad sense, and mitzvahs and averus in its more specific sense, are all bound to the question of a standard that's beyond me. So Yiras Shemayim means that. Moreh Shemayim refers to that. And a Rav, and that's why I think what Maral says, it's specifically a Rav that taught him Chachma as opposed to information, commands that type of Yira, because it's almost by definition in that I need to be able to say, well, my you know, by his standards, it's not like that. Someone once told me, this is a person who was a Talmud Chacham in Europe yet, and he was a sort of a very involved in public speaking and politics, an interesting person. He told me he was once in the vacation in a resort area with Reb Ochber together. And Reb Ochber had just finished a conversation with a Mizrahi Rav, and Reb Ochber was very agitated. And this person asked Reb Ochber, like, what happened? So Reb Ochber said, I had a conversation with this Rav, and I asked him, and we had a sharp debate about, obviously, about the issues of Zionism, etc. And he asked me, how do I know I'm right, or on what basis are you saying it? And I told him, because my Rebbe said so. So he replied to me, Rochber said, that my Rebbe said not like that. And Rochber got worked up in a huff. He said, my Rebbe and Zion Rebbe, my Rebbe and his Rebbe. What you know, like, what kind of comparison? What is he talking about? Like how does he compare to anyone else, Reb Chaim? And he carried on, you know, my Rebbe and Zion Rebbe. Like but the truth is, at some point, there are basic premises that you are ascribing to authority of some sort. Okay, so that was it. There was a relationship to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Toiv and absolute. Moshe could call it an Oral, because simply says Oral means something which is hidden. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not to be found in those areas that are called Ra, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be found in those areas that are called Tov. So I can't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls these Tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ra, but I do know that there is no Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu found in this, and there is Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu found in this. David Kore Tomei. David called it a Tomei. Yadua. Ki Atomei Nilma Tor Ad Shemachutz Amach Mashavai. The characteristic of a Tomei is that he's set apart from Tohar. Va'oma Kosov Sur Sur Altigo. Aval Enkan Hevdu Legamri Kemoshal Orolim Animol. An oral is actually a different category. The Gemara says that Goyim are called Arelim even if they happen to have a bris. Yisrael is called Nimolim even if they are Arelim in some ways. An oral has a din. A Tomei is not allowed to partake Korban Pesach. An oral is excluded. An oral is a much stronger distinction. A Tomei is of the same kind, but has had an issue. An oral is someone who is totally out of it, and so on. He's of a very different nature. The Amakos of Suru.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Can you just give a bit of I always have a bit of difficulty defining a good Hagdorah of Tomei. Because it's used in so many contexts, in halacha, even in these kinds of inyanim. What's the tzadah shava between them?
It's very, very hard to give a real tzadah shava in what tamei is. Like you said, the word is used colloquially in many ways. You have animals, non-kosher animals are called natura, natamei, natohar, mintamei, mintohar. You have Tumah and Tahara, it's something which is, it has its own meaning. The Rambam says it's something that has, obviously it's a chok, it has no Havana, no Seichel. I would assume, just in line with what he's saying, I would contrast it with the word Tahar. Note, if the opposite of Tumah is Tahar, Tohar means the product the way it ought to be. Tomei is something that is affecting it, but it's something that could be removed, in the sense that Tomei, just like liquid, just like water, is the primary cleanser in the Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made water as the primary cleanser, and that cleans everything. So things that are Tomei, you metayer beker through Tevila. So even Behema Tomeya, I'm not sure why that. I could guess possibly, but in his the way he's describing it, And in line with the fact that it's opposite of tahor, it would mean something that has incorporated elements into it that are not tov. The popular explanation for the common denominator of all tummy has something to do with death. Whether it's a nida, which means that, you know, she's just finished a cycle and the eggs are gone, or she's, you have nida, you have zera, mitzora is a type of misa of parts of the body. And that seems to be a general sense of it, but very, very hard to, how do we extend that into animals that are kosher, not kosher? And yet the pasuk calls it that way. It's not a colloquial use, it's a pasuk. Not sure. The Rambam, when he speaks at the end of Mikvos, gives some sort of sense of what he thinks tum is about, but it's an analogy. It's not really an explanation in the sense of the word. Avol einkan hevel gamik moshel oral. So the main point is an oral is sort of, we can categorize it as different, whereas a tummy has, he says very simple. He says you see that a mohul is, it's not a reversible process. When somebody has become an oral, he is it. It's because you can't become a different person than you are. Whereas the Torah can become tummy. So it's something which needs to be distanced. In other words, the way the Torah describes the problems with Tomentara is the level of contact. So the contact with something else adds or detracts from yourself. So just like, well, let's give an example, I guess, in modern type of situation, you will have a kid, you'll have two kids that are not doing well, and we can describe one kid as being a kid with difficulties, and one kid with being a kid who's okay, but he always gets, but he seems to tag along with the rowdier elements of his class. So the first kid needs to be dealt with in a very, you know, you need to change something in this person, you need to address it. The second one, you may just need to deal with his environment, whether to change a school or to have him understand how not to be schlepped along with bad guys. But it's a difference in how you deal with it. Tumah, the Torah said basically, stay away from others because they'll become tummy. Also, stay away from Esamigdash until you become tahor. Next, Shlomo Korosone. Vipnei shasone nivdal gam ke min hashasone lemruchik avol ein ze kemo atomei ke atomei mitami magoo kemo shidu hashatomei tami avol asone eini mischabe im hashasono av negi osere mitami osu rak shein lechive masone. So osone means someone who is apart from me, can harm me, but never becomes intertwined with me, which is a certain advantage. Because a tame becomes intertwined with me, it becomes a problem. And today we have a very good muscle for it. There are viral diseases that, you know, the virus stays outside of the cells. Well, every virus actually goes into a cell, but at least he stays out of the important cells. So he causes problems, but the body's immune system can identify and get rid of it. Where you have like something like AIDS type of thing, you basically have the virus creeping into the body's ability to identify the outsider or the insider. A Sony is always outside and is shooting at me. And so if as long as I duck and stay away from him, I'm in good shape. A Tame is sort of reaching out to me, and his tumor passes on to me. So that becomes a lot more insidious. It becomes a lot worse. The Yeshaya Kro Michsho which was V'yadua ke'amichshol misnaged lo v'shum michsholo. A michshol is even less in the sense that it's the person needs to reach the michshol. V'dov is a parsna soni. Kasonu misnaged legamim mechulik menu. V'ilu ha'michshol enka nisnagdus rakashi k'chara v'lo v'misnaged ilo. A michshol is something only that when you come across upon it, it creates its problems. And like they tell you a lot of times about many animals, stay away from it, it'll stay away from you. You know, don't touch it, it won't touch you. So a michshol is something where, unless you're going to do something that will trigger it, that it's not going to touch you. Omnon, yechesu kore evin, she evin ein a michshol rak hu dava kosha la adam. Mekon kom ein lo michshol rak shul masa adam. So a stone, he seems to be saying that a stone, we're talking about a stone that you're carrying on your back. That's what I understand. He says the stone is not a michshol, but it's rather something that weighs the person down. I'm not sure in the last one. Omnom yol kore tzfoini. Should suffer from the Adam Ben Yedea Mimenu.
So just one yes. Hour. Today in the popular psychological world,
yeah.
They call baggage. Is that some kind right. of something like that you carry along with
correct,
you?
Correct. Right. It's something that makes things more difficult. When you stumble along a stumbling block, you can get hurt, you can get derailed. It's just how heavy slows you down and makes your ability to do things less than you can or whatever. The last one I find surprising. He says, Yol called it Tzfoni. Tzfoni means the hidden one. Should soften believers should other men there be menu. If anything, that should be a throwback to some of the worst. This is something where it's a type of virus that's inside me and not at all visible to me. I think that would make it much worse. I don't know. It doesn't elaborate much on it. Because
I think Rabbi Israel in Egeres HaMusa, he speaks about that, right?
Right.
That the things which are misstated deep into the in the layers of the person. I always understood that to mean like you don't know something's there, and then some external circumstance comes, and suddenly the whole thing comes to life. You know.
Right. Which in a certain sense is worse. You know, his progression is from inside out. This is usually something a lot worse. If it's, the Ishbitzer says somewhere, probably Masei, he speaks about a shogeg, and he sort of is medayik in the pasuk in his way that in some ways a shogeg is worse than amazing. It says v'samti chamokim v'nas shama. That Kadosh Baruch Hu will make you a place to run away to. So he says that means the person has no place in this world, as opposed to a mazid who needs to be killed, but he's not placeless. He has a clear makom. This one does not have. That's his the way he describes it. And he says a reason. He says a fascinating reason. He says when somebody goes to murder somebody, he knows why he hates the other person and why he's willing to do what he's doing. I don't like this person because he took my job away, he's this, that, and the other thing, and I will kill him. So it's terrible, but being that I understand the dynamics of it, there's room for tshuva. A shogeg, the way he explains it, is not that, it's not just the negligence, it's, pardon the pun on the word, it was a Freudian slip. In other words, when so-and-so walked by, some subconscious emotion triggered, like sort of my hand went loose and it fell down on top of him. A shogeg means it's an avera that I've done that its cause is buried somewhat deep in my subconscious in a way that's really inaccessible to me. So I know it's like sometimes a person will avoid somebody and he doesn't even face up to why I'm avoiding this person. What about this person that makes me nervous or edgy or threatened? So he says a person who is not aware of what it is that is threatening him or whatever doesn't have a way of doing tshuva. I don't know why I hate this person. It seemed to me like an accident, but the Torah says those situations are chayev. So not knowing where, and that's Rabbi Sol's point in all of his Musa writings is, it's not enough to get up and to say a speech. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. Do good things, do good things, do good things. Because a person doesn't understand himself. And a person doesn't recognize how difficult he is. Unless he does a lot of serious thinking and introspection. And that's the point that he makes, actually, is about this. I'm not quite sure where it's coming from, but that's what he says here. So by the minimization of describing Yitzhahara in less and less difficult terms, it shows a lower diagram of the people describing it. The Madregas of Yitzhahara downwards are only seven. Now, the morale of these things tends to sort of feeding off Kabbalah. One of the common inyanim is that just like there are seven spheres of Tov, there are seven spheres of Tumah. If you know that it goes along with the lines of that everything Kadosh Baruch Hu made, he made for the good and for the bad, so it's even Steven, seven and seven. So that's why you can only have seven madrigas. So there's one person that is not affected by chet at all. For some people, the chet is difficult. So he says something very, very, he says over here that the ultimate understanding of Ra, he's going over here in the reverse direction. He's going from a low madrega, where you see an avera and you're okay with it, to feeling bad about it, to being scared of being caught up with it. And he says the highest dagger, he says, is v'yesha be'enav oisachet ki'ilu eine odom or ki'ilu hoya ne'adar. And so it's a very, very profound description of it. We would think that somebody is called somebody who hates Ra gets very upset, like canoistic, when it comes to it. But you know, when you're upset about somebody saying something or doing something, let's give an example. When a child says something annoying, stupid, not nice. So, a parent who's not terribly, not so smart, takes it to heart, gets upset. There's a parent in the area who has not an easy teenage child, but whenever he tells her that he doesn't love her, it becomes, it's like for weeks she sits shivering, she's upset, and how can he not love me? How could he love me? And when you try to explain to him that this is just teenage talk, and he doesn't know himself what he wants, what does he want, and just, you know, look at him kind of without emotion, because it's not a love affair. It's not an adult equal that when the person says, "I love you," it's a statement, a meaningful statement. It's not a meaningful statement. When a person sees Ra as non-existent, as just not, that's when he's furthest from Ra. When a person is caught up with it and upset and angry, ultimately Ra is that which has no makom and no metzias. And understand, a person who sees it that way has it right. It's just like when somebody feels a need to respond to you, then you know that you've hit home. When somebody tells you, "I couldn't care less about what you said," it means he cares. The person who really couldn't care less doesn't even hear you saying anything because it's not curious you. It has no impact on you. So the ultimate person is a person who just sees it as non-existent. The Chaznish once said, and that was so much, the Chaznish said, we don't need to fight them. We need to build ourselves. He said, they are not going to remain. The question is, will we remain? And no energy should be wasted on them. The battle's about ourselves. And in many ways expressed it. The main thing is to keep building Torah, yeshivas, etc. Don't worry about Ra, because we believe profoundly that Ra doesn't exist, and therefore it's always just a momentary, even if the moment is 100 years. But ultimately the question is, are we building the Torah we need to build? In other words, the attempt to deal with Ra by satisfying yourself with the rice offering is the big mistake, because it's just like a person who has he overeats. The problem is not that he needs food. The problem is that he can't, can't control himself and can't say no to food. And the more he lets it on, the more he's going to, he's going to keep stoking his crush on food. So really he needs to let go of it. When a person has some sort of sheva, it's a description, a type of description of the Ra, in the sense that it's the world that exists beyond Sviya. When people try to satisfy themselves with this, with what Ra has to offer, they find themselves completely, they find themselves getting more and more. Simple illustration, drugs. All the drugs, they work because I work meaning they entrap people, because people make the mistake of trying to satisfy themselves with it. It doesn't. It never satisfies. Okay, I need to go. Any questions? Short, whatever.
Thanks for Rabbi Yossi. So, same time next week, yeah?
Bezat Hashem, yeah. Should be okay.
Yeah, all the best.
Take care. All the best.